Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to you recognizing that apart from you, we are nothing. And so, Lord, I pray in these next few moments that we would be able to spend time with you and find our worth and our value in you. I pray, oh God, that you might communicate your will, your love, your desire, even your warning to somebody who is interacting and worshiping on today. I pray, oh God, that you would stand in my body and think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Cause us to hear truth that will transform us into the image of your Son. Do it to the end that you and you alone get all the credit, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, as we listen, it's already October. I can't believe that we're already in October 2021. And I just want to kind of deal with over the next few weeks something that I feel kind of creeping into the people of God, into the body of Christ. I hope it's not you, but if it is, hopefully we'll deal with it over this next week, next month, and that is the idea of how we view ourselves and how we should view ourselves in light of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want, as we kind of focus in on, as is our custom, celebrating communion on the first Sunday, I want to look back at the scene where Jesus first instituted communion. And I want us to notice something and see something in his word. And I want us to understand, because I want to talk about our favor is not based on what we have earned. Our favor isn't based on what we have earned. So join me in Luke chapter 22, Luke 22 verses 14 and 15. I'm coming from the New Living Translation. It might differ a little bit from yours, but Luke 22 verses 14 and 15, and we're going to use all that the gospel writers put together of this scene of the Last Supper as we know it, or this last Passover celebration Jesus has with his disciples. Look what Luke 22 verses 14 and 15 says. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." Now, pause right there. Stop right there. Notice this, that Jesus states that in his mind, in his spirit, in his attitude, he had been looking forward to spending this Passover meal with his disciples, knowing that the cross was coming, knowing that his time to make restitution for the anger of God and to appease the anger of God justly for our sins and the sins of the entire world. He knew that was coming. And yet he states that he had been looking forward to spending this time with the disciples. Now, part of this eagerness that Jesus must have felt was surely based upon his foreknowledge and his spiritual sightedness of what he saw and what was coming. John 13, when in John's telling of this scene, he says in verse 1, he says that before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come and to leave this world and to return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Notice that Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what was up. He could, you know, even if he didn't rely on his divinity, he relied on the Spirit of God in him to give him spiritual foreknowledge and insight so that he could kind of tell what was coming down the road. And so knowing what was coming, he wanted to spend this particular time with his disciples, with his followers in this upper room on the west side of the city. But now the thing that kind of bugs me is that with all that Jesus knew, he had to be aware of who it was that was sitting at the table and who he was eating Passover with. He had to have, with this spiritual foreknowledge, with this spiritual sightedness of what was coming, he had intentionally invited these 12 disciples, as well as however many others of his followers who may have been in the room with him. He knowingly sits down with these people that he's known for at least 3.5 years. And he knows them well enough to know that he, as he's about to bring them into intimate fellowship and into an eternal covenant that he's about to make, he knows who these individuals are. I mean, it's not like they caught him by surprise. John 13 and 2 tells us that it was time for supper, And the devil had already tempted, had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot, to betray Jesus. He knew he was sitting down with a betrayer. Luke 14, verse 21, Jesus even makes the statement, but here at this table, sitting among you as a friend, is the man who will betray me. Jesus knew that he's about to talk about this new covenant that he's about to break, that he's about to cut, that he's about to bring them into this intimate relationship with him that would include their salvation and their eternity, their eternal calling, their mission on earth. He knew who was there, and one of them he knew was a betrayer. But look at this, John 13, verses 10 and 11, he says, he makes the statement that you as the disciples, you're clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. This is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. Jesus recognized some of y'all got some issues. One of y'all is a betrayer, but that doesn't mean everybody got it together. Somebody around this table, you're a mess. And I know that you're a mess. Matter of fact, Luke 22, verse 24, Jesus says that a few minutes after he talks about how much he had looked forward to having this meal with them, they began to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest disciple, who was going to have the biggest name, who was going to have the biggest ministry, who was going to have more social media followers. They're at this table that Jesus said, I was looking forward to invite you to spend this time with you. I'm talking about this new covenant that I want to bring, the things I want to do on the earth, the eternity of people that I want to save and change their lives. And I wanted you here. And in the same context of that discussion, they're having an argument about who's going to be the biggest. Because Jesus knew the people sitting at this table, that this was a group of people who were completely unworthy of this relationship, of the revelation that he was about to bring, of this favorable standing and status with God, the Father through Jesus Christ, and the soon coming outpouring of the Holy Spirit who would reside on the inside of them. He knew what he was about to give them, and yet he knew that they were completely unworthy of this relationship. He knew that they hadn't done the right things. They hadn't said the right things. He knew in a few hours, Peter was going to go off cussing on somebody. He knew that Judas had already set up the betrayal. He knew that in a few hours, everybody would scatter, that people would pretend like they didn't know him. He knew that they were not the ones who had earned the right to be at the table sharing his life, this meal, his mission, and eventually his eternity. He knew that they had done nothing to earn the status to be able to join him at the table. Does that sound like anybody that you know? Jesus intentionally embraces people whose ways make them unworthy. Now, it's not like these people hadn't been with him for 3 years. There was already the nature of a relationship. And yet, even with that relationship had not done enough to make them earn the right to be there. Yet he said, I've been looking forward to this. I couldn't wait to share this time with you. This picture of Jesus at the table, instituting what we know as communion, it shows us that Jesus includes the unworthy in the covenant relationship with him. Listen, you are here. You are where you are. You are where you are in relationship with Jesus, not because you've earned it, but because he has chosen you. You and I have a favored status with God, not because we've done all the right things, not because we've said the right things, not because we're so holy, not because we're so righteous. It's simply because Jesus has chosen us to be at this table. And knowing what you have done, knowing what I have done, knowing how we are, knowing what we have denied, knowing what we've betrayed of our relationship with him, he still says, I've been looking forward to spending this time with you. Paul says it like this, it's by grace you and I have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not what we've done. It's a gift of God, not of our works, because he doesn't want anybody to have something to brag about. We are all invited to the table of Jesus, even though we are unworthy. And even as unworthy as we are, even knowing what he knows about us, he's been looking forward to inviting us to his table. And in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says that with these jacked up, messed up, egotistical, privileged beyond their need to feel privileged, with these individuals who in a few hours would run, would desert him, some would betray him, some would deny him, some would lose their minds. With all of that, the Bible says he took some bread, he gave thanks to God for it, then he broke it in pieces, and he says, "This is my body, which is given for you. It's a gift. Do this in remembrance of me." He chose us to be at his table. He's chosen us to give us the gift of salvation, the gift of sonship, of daughtership, the gift of being a son or daughter of the Most High God. It's a gift, not that we've earned it, but it's a favored status simply because of his choice. And so I invite us to this same table where Jesus has been looking forward to spend time with us. And as you grab your communion receptacles, as you situate yourself or your family around this time of worship, just remember, it's not because we're righteous that we get to sit at the table. It's not because we're so holy. It's not because of what we've done. Our favored status with God comes because Jesus has chosen us. While we thought we were choosing him, truth is he chose us before we chose him. We love him, John says, because he first loved us. So I'm going to ask that you would take a moment, bow your head, close your eyes. For those things that make us unworthy, the things that we have done or said or even thought that have been operating out of our selfishness and out of our flesh and not out of our understanding and our status as sons and daughters of the Most High God, take a moment. Confess those things before God. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment. Lord Jesus, we come humbly because we recognize that we are unworthy. Lord, we come setting aside our ego, setting aside our privilege, setting aside all the things that we think we should say that make us who we think we are. And we humbly throw them at the foot of the cross. And we recognize if it had not been for you choosing us, if it had not been for your invitation into life in Jesus Christ, we would still be out there on our way to hell and thinking that we were having fun. And Lord, I pray that at this moment, at your table by your invitation, that you would see our repentance, that you would see the humility in our hearts, that you would hear our confession, and that you would keep your word, and that you would wash us away and forgive us of all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. We come to you bringing all of our righteousness, which is like a bag of garbage, and we bring it to you, and in exchange, you give us life. Lord, thank you for what you have done. Jesus, thank you for what you are willing to do to make us, who were unworthy, the ones who got invited to your table. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless these elements. It's a simple wafer and just a little bit of juice, but it reminds us of what lengths you went to make us worthy enough to sit at your table. Thank you that it's not because of what we have performed or how Christianly we have been, but you simply chose us. You saved us. And now you are filling us by your Spirit as we sit at your table. That kind of love we can't fathom, but we thank you. that kind of a sovereign choice blows our minds, but we thank you. Now, God, bless this time and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that Jesus took bread. He gave thanks for it. He broke it before he gave it to them. He says, this is my body. I'm putting my body on the line. I'm giving it for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take and eat together. Verse 20 says that after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, Jesus says, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. He did the hard work. He did the dirty work. He did what was necessary so that we would have the favored status. And now we have an eternal covenant, a brand new agreement between God and us, that we don't have to apologize for our favored status because it was the blood of Jesus that sealed it. Let's take and drink together. And Paul says that when we have done this and our hearts are right and we are connected rightly with God and with one another, that there is the power to heal that is let loose and present amongst the people of God. And so as a sign of connection, I want you just to stretch your hands toward your screen or toward your device. And we declare by the shed blood of Jesus, by the promises made by him, by the stripes laid on Jesus, by the bruises laid upon our Jesus, by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, we declare healing, wholeness, wealth, and prosperity in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody ought to give God praise for your favored status, even though you know you're unworthy. It was the choice of Jesus. It's what he did. It's what he says. It's what who he says we are, that our favor is not based on what we have earned. And so walk in your healing, walk in your wholeness, walk in your favor, because you are chosen by God.